kingdom of God. Please be seated.
Well, good morning. It is wonderful again to be with you all. I wanted to take a moment and just say how thankful I am for this congregation, for the love that is here for each and every member that makes up this congregation. We are very blessed here, as Steve said in his prayer, and as you probably heard if you've been here multiple times, this congregation is amazing. And we have wonderful Christians here who love each other and try to look out for each other. And this year, this whole theme that we had come up with about having and building momentum, being a church in motion, I've just been blown away by how much in motion we are. And we are constantly together, constantly doing things. I tried to make the statement that, you know, there's going to be a week where we spend every day together. And we've probably spent multiple weeks together throughout this year so far, and I'm just so thankful. And because of that, you have also noticed that we have had new families come and want to be members of this congregation and be a part of this flock. And there's something, and just as a way of helpful reminder for those who have been members for a long time, and as maybe new information, if you are new here or you're walking around and you're wondering what these gold things are on a lot of people's shirts and lapels, these are name tags. Have you ever noticed there's a lot of people in this building? Do you know everybody's name in this building? Maybe, maybe not. That's why we have name tags. And how wonderful is it to think that I can walk up to somebody, and if you are a member here, you have a name tag. There are white boards at the front of each entrance on the east and west side of this building. Your name is probably on there. If you are a part of this congregation underneath the oversight of our elders here, you have a cool gold name tag. And what helps us to be able to know your name, unless you're someone who loves to study the directory, by the way, it's really fun to do. And if you ever want to play the game of guess whose name that is with me, feel free. I'm always at those tables most of the time. And that way you can learn people's names even when they don't have a name tag. But to help us and to help everybody else, if you would love to wear a name tag and you're a member here, go find them on those white boards. I just thought I would make that announcement for today because we have a lot of name tags out there. I thought I'd just wear them all and just see if y'all could guess who I am. But I feel like my jacket would have gotten really heavy. So just a short way of reminding you, Miss Gigi does an amazing job of once somebody becomes a member here, they usually have a name tag the week after. So other than that, as we dive into today's lesson, I hope you're able to grab a handout. There isn't an outline, but there is some space to write notes concerning our lesson this morning. And as we start, I want to ask you the question, how many of you were ever nervous for the first day of school? I don't know what age group, maybe it was the first day of your college classes, first day of being a ninth grader in high school. That was always nerve-wracking. Right? Or maybe you were moving up from fifth grade to sixth grade, and if you're in the public school system, you probably went to a whole new building, and you were like, oh no, where do I go? Where's all these classes? Maybe it was you were worried about your outfit for the first day. Maybe that was a lady thing. Guys, we just wanted to wear gym shorts and a t-shirt, right? Or maybe, guys, you were worried about whether you got the cool shoes over the summer or not. When you went to go buy your new school shoes, you were nervous on the first day. Did I buy the right ones? Or maybe you were worried about who was going to be in your class. Was I going to have my friends here? Or were going to have anybody in my homeroom or anything like that? Maybe you were worried what lunch was going to be that day. That was usually my worry, because I never did take my lunch. I didn't even think about that. I was always worried, were we going to have chicken nuggets and french fries and all of that? I didn't want to have anything that was just gross like broccoli. And now that I'm adult, I enjoy broccoli. But those were things that kind of made me nervous, but not really. What really made me nervous on the first day of school, and I want to kind of help us understand and really try to put you in my shoes of what made Matt nervous. And so I want you to imagine with me, it's the first day of school, you're a ninth grader, you're going to the high school, right? You're now the low person on the totem pole in the high school as the ninth grader. And you walk into your first period class. You're thinking to yourself, I think I'm going to Mrs. Smith's history class. That's all the way on this hallway. And see, my high school was three stories, and it was like this building. It was this size, but had three stories. Okay? Now, I had to go all the way to Mrs. Smith's history class. I go in, I find one of my friends, and I sit down with him, and I'm so excited to be in this class with my friend. And then all of a sudden, the bell rings, and we all know those couple of people that spent too long socializing in the hallway, and they try to sneak in the door as Miss Smith is shutting that door. And they all take a seat, and then all of a sudden, now Miss Smith is going through her roles. She's starting to call names, and you know, she's going through the alphabet. She's asking if Annabelle Adams is here, and Annabelle says, here. And then she goes on to talk about Beatrice Butler. Is she here? Yes, Beatrice is here. And then she gets to Damon, and Damon says present because, you know, there's always that one kid that doesn't want to say here. He comes up with a different word to say. And then as she keeps going through the roll, all of a sudden you realize, oh no. And for me, she passed the J's, and I didn't hear my name. Then I start sweating and getting really nervous because I thought I had done a good job studying that schedule the school gave me a month before. I even walked through all the classes to make sure I was at the right one. Then I realized at the end of the roll, she didn't call my name at all. And then I had to realize, oh no, it's Thursday. And on Thursdays, I'm supposed to be in Coach Jones's math class. So now I am beyond embarrassed because my name was not on that roll sheet. And I got so nervous, because then guess what you have to do? You have to stand up. Everybody looks at you and says, oh wow, how embarrassing. You walk out the door, you go into Coach Jones's class, and now everyone's going, oh wow, how embarrassing. You went to the wrong class. That's what made me nervous, was not to be on the right roll sheet. And yes, that's school. And thankfully, I'm not in school anymore, and I don't have to deal with that anymore. I'm sorry, kids that are still in school. But now that I'm an adult, now that I'm a Christian, I'm more worried about God's roll sheet. I'm more worried about being in his book of life. As Steve was putting in his prayer this morning, the most important thing is to be a Christian in this world and to make sure that we're found in Christ. And so this morning, we're going to be doing a phrase study, I guess you could call it. And we're going to be looking at this phrase of what is the book of life. And we're going to be studying that particular lesson on what is this book of life that we read about in the New Testament. And those are the verses and we're going to be looking at, and we're going to be studying, what is this all about? Who is involved? How do I get into that? And how can I make sure on Judgment Day my name is on that roll? And so what I want you to do with me as we go throughout, and feel free to make notes in your bulletins, in your order of worships, and jot down scriptures. You may not be able to write everything down, but I want you to get these scripture references down as we go throughout. There are six times in the New Testament where Book of Life is mentioned explicitly. And most of those are in Revelation, which we will talk about today. There's actually one of them mentioned in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And we'll talk about that. But then there's two other times we'll allude to where the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 23, he alludes to this idea of being named in the book of life. And then we also have Jesus talking about it or alluding to it in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Now, I'll go over those again as we go throughout this lesson. But I want to first talk about this. And I want you to have this question in your mind as we go throughout this lesson. Is your name in the book of life? On Judgment Day, as we stand before God, will he have our name on his roll sheet? So let's answer this question as we start to find out, am I in the book of life? What is this book of life? As we see it named in the New Testament, what is it? Notice, it is a census that contains the names of those who are righteous before God. You see, God loves censuses. I don't even know if that's a word. sorry. He loves to have his people numbered. You can go to the Old Testament. Have you ever read the book of Numbers? What is the book of Numbers? It's all about taking a census of God's people. You see, God likes to keep track of those who are his. And so when you read about the book of life in the New Testament, it is a way God is able to keep track of those who are his. And he has a book of life that is with him in the heavens that he is adding people to, and also, as we'll talk about later, some of those who are being blotted out. It's a census, and he's able to see and know who is righteous before him. Notice some of these verses. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, we have this explicitly stated. Now, Revelation 20 is a chapter that's talking about judgment day, especially when you get after verse 7. You start seeing what's going to be happening on that day. And notice, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And we see, as we understand what is the book of life, and it's this census of those who are righteous before God, those who are doing the right things of God according to what they had done. That's what this is talking about. If you are doing what God wanted you to do, that's where your name will be in the book of life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled or written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Those who are a part of this assembly, this church of the firstborn, right? Their names are enrolled, or the word there for enrolled is written, and it's written in heaven. It's contained in this book of life, those who are doing the right things of God. So we have this census of those who are righteous. That's who's in this particular book of life. Now, who is in that book, right? Now, here's where we start looking at all the different references of those who are found in this book of life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, you have this moment in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, where these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, are being entreated or urged by Paul to agree, to be of the same mind. See, some point in this church at Philippi, these two women started butting heads. They were not agreeing, right? And as you go throughout, it almost seems that one of them was putting themselves before the other, or maybe both of them were. And because of that, there was some clashing going on. So much clashing that Paul needed to write a letter to this church. And right here, he's trying to urge these women, and he's also talking to a friend of his to try and urge these women to agree, because they had been such close companions with him. They had been fellow laborers with Paul. And he also notes that they are also people with their names in the book of life. You'll also find in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, as the messenger is giving this message from Jesus to the church at Sardis, notice he talks about those who conquer the world, those who are able to overcome, their names are found in the book of life. You see, there was a lot of wild stuff happening during the Roman Empire. Especially as you go throughout the book of Revelation, you'll realize that this beast, the Roman Empire, is trying to turn away God's people. And that's why, particularly in Sardis, we see this message about those who overcome, those who conquer, their names are going to be in the book of life. They won't be removed or blotted out. Then you'll see who is in the book of life. It's those who are clean, not detestable, and not false. If you were to look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, the reference there is to heaven. Right, the New Jerusalem, as will be explained in Revelation 21. So right there, you see those who are in the book of life. And you'll notice in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, as we read earlier, those who are a part of this assembly of the firstborn, those who are in the church, right? Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 as well, those who are in Christ's body, their name is in the book of life. And then Revelation 13, 8 and 17, 8, those who do not worship the beast. Those are two very important verses that talk about how the beast is going to try and take over and try to overpower and to not let these saints conquer this world. And those who are able to conquer, overcome the beast and everything that it throws at them, their names will be found in the book of life. So now you see who is in this particular book. And then we have to ask this question, because often our society will kind of muddy the waters here. Can someone be removed? I look through numerous scholarly work, commentaries, where some people would say, no, they can't. And some people would say, yes, they can. But then you have this in Revelation 3, verse 5. And I want you just to read this with me and think about this verse logically and what Jesus is saying here. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I want you to ask this question for yourself. How can a name be blotted out if it was never put in the book? You see, that's what some commentators will say. Well, they were never actually Christians to begin with. That's why they were able to fall away. The problem is Jesus doesn't really agree with that. Because notice, it's first off the one who conquers, and the one who conquers will never have their name blotted out. But what happens when the person doesn't conquer the world? Doesn't overcome Satan. It gives in to temptation, falls back into a life full of sin. Jesus will blot their name out. Because ultimately what you're doing is you stopped confessing Jesus as Lord in your life. In Matthew chapter 10, 31, 32, 33, in that section, remember, if you deny Jesus, what will he do? What's the promise? He will also deny you before his Father who is in heaven. But if you will confess Jesus, he will confess your name before his Father who is in heaven. You see, can a name be removed? Yes. And there's a sad reality, and we probably know people in our lives who we have fought for and tried to encourage to come back, but they tasted what was so great about the church and about the Lord, but they thought sin was a better way to go. And because of that, as we see here, their name was blotted out of the book of life. So what is the reward? Is there a reward to be being found on God's roll sheet? On judgment day, as we are standing before God and these books are opened, and he has the book of life opened as well, and he's judging people by what they have done throughout this life, we have to ask ourselves, what is the reward? And the reward, hopefully you can read that, is eternity with God in heaven. Let me just read this with you. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through the end of the chapter. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke to me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were three gates on the east, and three gates on the north, and three gates of the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its walls. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And then he measured the city with a rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall, 72 yards according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light. The kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, no one who practices abominations and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You may have read through that with me, and hopefully did, and you may be wondering, what is this place gonna look like? There is lots being said, lots of different stones that probably Matt messed up while he was trying to read through them. What is this place being described? It's heaven. And those whose names are in the Book of Life will be able to enter into it. And how awesome is that? You see, sometimes we get caught up in all those descriptive names or descriptive things about what this place is going to look like. Just know those who are written in the Book of Life are going to be there. And I want my name to be in the Book of Life because I want to be there. Now, we see what the reward is. Do we ever find a punishment for those who are not in the Book of Life? You see, on Judgment Day, as we see described in Revelation chapter 20, we see verse 12, as God is judging out of these books by what people had done. If you get down to verse 15, notice what happens in this particular chapter. And if anyone's name was not found written in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's pretty clear on what that's being described as. That's a place I don't want to go to. I don't want to be with the beast. I don't want to be with all these sinful people whose names are not contained in the Book of Life. When God judges me on Judgment Day, I don't want him to say, okay, you go over here. You're not on my roll sheet. You're going to the lake of fire. You see, two very different places. You have one reward and one punishment. And so then it begs to question, as we are listening and we're trying to answer that question we started out with, is your name in the Book of Life? You want to ask yourself, how do I know my name is in the Book of Life? How can I make sure? Have you obeyed the gospel? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, we see God's vengeance will come upon those who do not obey the gospel. Well, how do I do that? How do I obey the gospel message of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection? As you go throughout the New Testament, and as we'll be talking about in Bible class in just a little bit, we see that belief is a part of it, especially when you look at the purpose of John's gospel account. He wrote things down so that people could read them and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And by believing, you will have eternal life. We see in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, the time of ignorance is over, as Paul is letting these smart people, philosophers, know. You have to repent. Repentance is now here. You need to change who you are. You need to turn away from the sinful person and turn to God. In Romans 10:9, we also see where we're supposed to confess Jesus as our King. Believe in your heart and confess with your lips that he is Lord, and you'll be saved. And then we see in Acts 22, verse 16, as Paul is recounting really what happened in his conversion, we see a man named Ananias come in there as Paul had been praying for 3 days, and he lets Paul know, arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, having your sins washed away. That's how I can make sure I get my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we remember Revelation 3:5. How can I make sure my name stays there and it's not blotted out? That's where we ask ourselves the question, am I continuing to live by the will of the Father? You see, in Matthew 7:21, we have a very real reminder from Jesus as he's preaching this sermon. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's who will be in the book of life. Those who have obeyed the gospel and continued to live faithfully, continued to do what God the Father wants you to do in this life. And so again, is your name in that book? Will your name be called on the day of judgment in the book of life? If you're here this morning and you find yourself questioning that, if you don't know, and you would like to talk with me about it and study with me about it, I would love to sit down with you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you have, your name was written in the book at one point in your life and you're starting to question whether you have lived faithfully, and you would love to come before the church this morning and ask for prayers and encouragement. We would love to pray with you. If you have a need this morning, whatever it may be, we ask that you come and while we stand and sing the song of